else would that really have gotten attention like that, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
We don't have, we didn't have social media. We didn't have, you know, everybody being a reporter and stuff like that. So that's why people now question, exactly. Yeah. And that's why they question it. Like, okay, was that real? Was it this? You know, how true was everything in that? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
In today's world, man, it's different.
Everything is out.
It's out there.
Everything is everything, huh?
You're watching Dead and Hip Hop Conversations. Thank you for watching. So if you're a subscriber, thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing. We appreciate it. If you're new and just happen to click on this video, become a subscriber. Check out our videos, watch the videos. And if you like what you're seeing, think about becoming a patron and support us. We really appreciate it. So today we are talking about Lauryn Hill, man. Robert Glasper made a lot of noise a couple of weeks ago with his tell-all interview that he had. Basically, they asked him to name an artist that was difficult to work with, and he did not hold back at all. Most people were like, I don't want to name names, whatever, whatever. He was like, nope, Lauryn Hill. So basically, he said Lauryn Hill was difficult to work with. She demands that everybody call her Miss Hill. She tries not to pay her artists. Can't look at her in her eyes. A whole bunch of stuff. We'll include the link to that particular interview in the comment section. But one of the most notable things he said was that she didn't write The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
He was pretty bold of saying, like, you know, she steals work. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could have maybe finessed that a little bit more.
We knew that.
Huh?
We knew that.
You knew what?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. That she just completely steals.
It's been rumored.
No,
I mean,
it wasn't rumored. She was sued. You don't remember this?
I don't remember.
It was in 1998. She was sued
because she wasn't paying the people that said that they were. I forget the name of the group, but it was like a collective of people.
I can look it up.
They said,
I think I do remember something like that, but I don't remember. I don't remember the whole like she didn't like write shit.
They said that they were the primary writers on like right? two or three songs,
right?
And that they were contributing songwriters for all of the rest of the songs.
Mm-hmm. Contributing is a little different than actual writing, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if you're a contributing writer and a primary writer on at least two or three songs, you can't then say songs written by Lauryn Hill. You have to give these other people credit. So this was already known.
New art.
Yeah, so why was the reaction of the interviewers, like, so, like, what? If this was, like, such knowledge like that.
Because it was coming from the horse's mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have Robert Glasper here. You ask them, you know, who's somebody difficult to work with. He names Lauryn Hill. He has firsthand accounts.
Right.
Like, all of this stuff is hearsay, third party, right. Or whatever.
Right.
Robert Glasper saying, nah, bruh. This is what it was.
Firsthand.
You know, and he's...
Oh, because they did say, yeah, also, that's not a fake story. This is real life.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got you.
No.
People sued for a lot of different things. Yeah. So, and that wasn't really uncommon because you see these type of lawsuits happen all the time. So, you know, it could be somebody just bitter or whatever. But they were suing over, according to this article, song credits. And then, you know, the times are different now. Like back then, an article like this, it'd be like, whatever. You'll see it or you won't see it.
Exactly. In 1998, first of all, I don't think it, and look, I was in eighth grade, so this type of stuff was not important to me. But I also remember in that time, like, you know, maybe MTV would have picked it up with Kurt Loder and, you know, the little 15-minute thing that they used to do. But outside of that, globally or nationally, where else would that really have gotten attention like that?
But yeah, I mean, we're talking about an album that's heralded, you know, as a classic. She, you know, even now to this day, still gets all of the credit for the album as a whole. Like, writing credit, production credit, she still gets credit for everything. So for Robert Glasper to say what he said and to kind of bring this all back to the surface and to, like people said, to flat out say she steals work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, steal is a strong word to use.
What is she stealing exactly?
Well, what she stole, apparently, was that album, and I think Rose is Still a Rose, Aretha Franklin song.
But I thought that was Aretha Franklin song, though. Rose is Still a Rose?
Yeah, she sung the song, but...
That wasn't her song?
No, it was Aretha Franklin's song. Okay. She sung it. It was on,
How did she steal it then?
Yeah, that's why, yeah.
Like, credit for writing the song.
Oh, so Aretha Franklin isn't listed in the credits for that song? Is that what you're saying?
I think Lauryn Hill is credited for writing that song. So maybe she worked with Aretha on writing the song, but she probably didn't come up with like the music, you know, because that was something else Robert Glasser said. He like, she would get in there and she wouldn't know how to play tune on guitar.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But then like a lot of stuff back in the day, like people would just be the face of this stuff. And then like, because I feel like it's a lot of blurred
But the thing is, right, it's like, at the end of the day, you got to give people the credit for what they've done.
And this is not uncommon.
Yeah, it's right. It's not uncommon. Yeah. But
in R&B, it's not uncommon. You have songwriters. Some people write songs. You have songwriter duos, songwriter teams, or whatever.
But they get credit for that.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. So this is not uncommon. But in hip hop, you know, it carries that weight, the mantle of course. You know, being the original artist to write all of this stuff.
But again, I think that's why it's blurry, because you remember I always said that I came on to Lauryn Hill for the songstress, like her singing ability or whatever. And it wasn't initially for me the rhyming ability. It was more so just like she was a talented singer.
It says here that Lauryn Hill wrote Roses Are Still a Rose and Aretha Franklin just sang it.
And that's what I've always heard too.
Yeah, she wrote it for Aretha Franklin. I never heard any controversy about that either.
Right.
Apparently the bassist, I guess, that worked on it suit her, and I guess maybe not for writing of it, but probably for the music part of it.
That's not really stealing.
Are we defining as stealing in this scenario as somebody's writing something for somebody to sing, but then when the album comes around, they're not getting credit or paid or anything like that?
I think coming from Robert Glasper, being a musician, he's just seeing it through his musician's eyes. Through a creative and he's putting himself into that scenario. I don't know that I would say she stole the album, because I'm sure they were writing it for her.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that she stole the credit. She didn't give them the credit for what they did on the album.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what people are upset about.
And that still is a little questionable to me as well, because I just remember certain people just being a face of things.
And that's fine, but if you look in the credits, I'm sure it didn't say Al B. Shore wrote his albums. I'm sure it didn't say Keith Sweat wrote.
Right.
Well, Keith Sweat might have.
No, Keith Sweat wrote for Keith other Sweat. People.
Okay, yeah. So back to Al B. Shore then.
Okay.
I'm sure it didn't say Al B. Shore wrote all of his own music.
Mm-hmm.
It would say Al B. Shore sang the shit, and then you'd have in the credits who wrote them. But if you look at Lauryn Hill's album, it says written, produced, and whatever the other word was, by Lauryn Hill.
So, like, do you think it's a situation where they may have signed a contract to say that you wouldn't see the credit or something like that?
I'm sure they did, because if they didn't, they could have easily sued them.
Yeah.
So, but the New Ark guys did sue. I just don't know if they won.
Right.
It was settled.
It was. There you go.
Yeah, it was
so
settled.
Why would they settle if it was completely fake?
In 2001, it was settled.
I think the whole main part of this wasn't so much her just stealing the album. I think Robert Glasper's point was, you can't be as egotistical as she is hasn't done anything.
Right.
Yep. If you only half wrote the one album that you did that got you popular, then you don't really have a right. I mean, you shouldn't anyway, but you really don't have a right to be walking around here treating people like shit.
Right.
Like, if Prince wanted to do that, all right.
Okay.
I get it, you're Prince, like you said, Quincy Jones did that, Stevie Wonder, I get it, but none of them really acted like
right,
that
right.
But if they did, it would be more understandable than someone that didn't even write her own entire album, and you only dropped one,
tune their own guitar.
I give a pass for,
even though we like it for the, you know, the stuff that he was talking about, but for me, I'm like, damn, like what was his angle, like what was his purpose of like
being, I think he just back? Caught up, I think he just got caught up in the moment.
You think he just got caught in the moment?
Yeah.
He got caught up.
Yeah. I think he's been waiting for this shit.
So you think this is
someone
his moment?
Treats you like that? I mean, it was definitely petty, but at the same time, I think it's something that needs to be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
If you are heralded as this artist that made a classic album and you're going around treating people like you're the shit, but you didn't write all the music, You can't do all of these things, and you're treating your, like, come on, I think that's something that needs to be discussed.
But don't most artists like that treat their people like shit?
And they should be called out on it.
I'm not saying that they should.
I know you're not, I'm just saying. They should be called out on it. Like, if you hear that, I almost said Chris Brown, but shit, I would expect him Chris Brown. Who's someone that you would think would be nice?
Patti LaBelle, then.
Patti LaBelle. I would expect Patti LaBelle to not be very nice.
She be mama. Mama on set.
I don't know. I would expect Patti LaBelle to be like, okay, y'all fucking this song up.
But in a mama way, though.
That's still rude.
Nah, not in a mama way.
Shit. You ain't my mama?
You kind of. See, Patti is your mama. You don't even know it. Patti, everybody mama.
If we heard that Patti LaBelle was treating her artists or her band members like complete shit, would you be surprised? And would you think that's kind of fucked up? Or would you be like, well, shit, you did. Did Patti LaBelle write all her music?
Probably not.
I doubt it.
Songwriters.
Right. So would you be like, oh, well, it's Patti LaBelle's understanding?
No, no, because that me being me, I never understood why that is the thing. Because I hear it with all artists, you know what I'm saying? Like, they say Nicki Minaj treated people like shit. Of course, right? But it's just never been. I'm like, why aren't you nice to these people? These are people that could really control your destiny. Right.
Because
you know
they're easily, not really. Her band can't make or break her. Okay. They're easily. It was the same way like everybody at YP treated us like shit. Mm-hmm. We were the backbone, but we can be replaced. And that's the way Nicki Minaj probably looks at her band. They're like, well, shit, I don't need you. I can go get somebody else.
Maybe that's how Lauren.
That's exactly what Lauren
having auditions the day before.
No, that's foul.
That was super foul. You already have a band. And then you have an audition the night before,
but not even in a place to really evaluate talent in the fucking lobby of the hotel, bro.
I don't have a problem with that. If I was an artist, I would have every base covered.
Yeah.
If I have a piano player,
yeah, you need to have a backup.
Yeah, and I'm flying to Japan.
Yeah.
Why would I not hold auditions just in case?
The way I understood it is that she was having a backup band to replace that band at some point.
That's how we don't know that.
Yeah. We don't know her thinking. We don't know her thinking with that. Yeah.
I think her end game was to have a backup, and partly because she wanted to be able to threaten the band and say, well, shit, if you don't do shit the way I want you to, I got this Asian guy over here that I met yesterday that can play all my shit. So keep running your mouth, Robert Glasper.
How do you feel about her trying to make Robert Glasper audition over the phone or in person?
He was like, no. I said, I have albums. I have work out. You can go listen to my work.
But don't you think that that's fair for an established artist?
No.
Even an established artist should have to audition for something?
Most definitely. Just because you can play music that you wrote doesn't mean that I will like your renditions of what I did.
Yeah, it's like an actor or whatever. Just because you were fucking Denzel in this, you just don't mean you could be good in this shit.
There you go.
Yeah.
You have to audition. And I think that was a little bit pretentious on Robert Glasper's part. I got number one album, so you didn't do it with me.
So let's go more to like Lauryn Hill, right? And this miseducation shit. So in your opinion, does that tarnish that album for you and the legacy of Lauryn Hill?
So it's still a classic album. You can't change the sound, everything that's put into it. She had some input on it, but I do start to question, like, I'll put it to you this way. Now there's a reason why we don't have a second album.
I can't stand when people are like, well, so-and-so's a jerk, so therefore their music's not good. Get the fuck out of here. Y'all never met Rakim. Mm. Y'all never met Tupac. You never met Biggie. Like, they could have all been assholes. We don't fucking know. Mm-hmm. The album is the album, period. I don't care who wrote it, personally. Because the music is there, the music is great, it's a classic album. Is Lauryn Hill, like, does it tarnish the way I look at her?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's what I'm at. That's why I said both, the album and her. So does it...
I've thought Lauryn Hill was on the freeway to trash for a long time. Because I've heard lots of bad things about Lauryn Hill. Lots of bad things about her. Mm-hmm. Not being a nice person. Mm-hmm. So, the way I look at it, Lauryn Hill's a crappy person who helped produce an incredible album. But that's a lot of people.
No, it doesn't change the album at all. It was recorded and you can still play it today and that shit sounds amazing. In terms of the perception of Lauryn Hill, it's interesting because it's only been in the recent years, I'll say like the last 3 years, that I've started to hear all of this negativity about Lauryn Hill. So for me, it doesn't really change too much, because at the end of the day, I've always looked at her as a singer that can rap. And because I look at her as more of an R&B artist, if she didn't write her raps, to me, it didn't didn't mean anything. So, you know, but all of this stuff of her being mean and, you know, the way she treats people, yeah, that's fucked up. But to Mike's point, at the end of the day, I don't have to deal with Lauryn Hill on a personal basis. So I personally don't give a fuck. Just like Kanye, like, Nick, give me the work. Just get, if the work is good, I don't personally care how you are personally. Like, I don't have to deal with you.
The album will still be the album. It's a classic still. Unlike FIFA, yeah, I've been hearing about this. These are the horrible things about Lauryn Hill, about her, you know, how her attitude towards the band members, just her attitude towards people in her life, and just, you know, her being late to her shows. Like, that's like, all that stuff is just like, that is not new at all. That's been going on for almost damn near since she released her first album. Just like Ken said, yeah, of course, by it being more of the R&B side of her creativity, more so the rapping side. Because, yeah, I remember when this album was about to come out, I was thinking we was going to get how many mics Lauryn Hill. Like, that was the Lauryn Hill I was hoping for. But, you know, she showed the talent, like Ken said, that pretty much put her on the map. So from that point, from a writing standpoint, don't really mess nothing up.
I think this is one of those moments where we go back to the old cliche, man, separating the art from the artist. You know, sometimes I feel that's a cop-out, but, you know, with Lauryn and this situation she's going through, I don't know, maybe it applies here.